Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Pastor Roger, do you know how to make God laugh?
Tell him your plans.
Tell him your plans, right? This service was not what we had planned for this weekend, but God, who knows all things, had different plans, better plans today. So I pray that you who are online are blessed by this time that we have together. Even though we are apart, we are one in Christ and in His Spirit. So let me start today by asking this question. What is better, to be thought a wise man among fools, or to know that you are a fool who stands before the only one who is truly wise? Our reading from 1 Corinthians makes the answer clear for those with ears to hear. Yet it seems to me that this is the great challenge of our day. There was a time when even our sciences presupposed a divine and intelligent creator who was present with us. And there was objective truth greater than our feelings and experience, which ordered our actions and our values and gave us a common understanding of goodness and informed our conversations and even our differences. Now it seems that many prevailing voices in our culture champion subjective truth and individual freedom over the public good. That our current age values freedom over responsibility is reflected in our many changing laws over the last several years. From abortion to marriage, the legalization of recreational drugs, and most recently, the division we are experiencing as a country around our immigration laws. Nobody wants to look foolish as to suggest that all the changes we have made to our laws and the enforcement of our laws may have serious unintended consequences. Or that considering these consequences and discussing them together might actually require us to rethink, to reconsider our pursuit of happiness and individual freedom, which seems to be the highest good in our country today. Unless we can agree that there is one true and real source of wisdom and truth, is it any wonder, any surprise, that our country is increasingly divided? Without God, you see, we are fools, looking for the approval of other fools, waiting for them to tell us how wise and how right we are. The Apostle Paul, in our epistle reading today, uses strong language in 1 Corinthians. He says, "It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." The King James says, "I will bring to nothing." After addressing the division that was even in the church at Corinth, in the opening of his letter, Paul reminds them of the unsurpassing wisdom and power of God, laying low any and all who would consider themselves wise or strong or powerful apart from God. Apart from God. Isn't this the issue throughout the Bible? Man's foolish desire to be apart from God. The narrative of the Old Testament tells of the relationship between God and His people, from Adam and Eve's fall into sin and God's covenant to restore their relationship, to slavery in Egypt and God's guiding by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night in the wilderness during the Exodus, as once again God restored their relationship and returned his people to the land that he had promised them. The Old Testament is the story of sin, judgment, and grace. The people would foolishly forget God for a time, worshiping other gods on the high places, allowing sin to separate them from God and his will, and then the consequences for sin would inevitably come, and the repeated question, asked in many different ways, was, is God with us? The great lesson and the ultimate comfort of the Old Testament is that yes, God is with us. Because God is faithful to his people, even when his people are not. God is wise, even when his people are not. God is strong, even when his people are not. And God is true, even when his people are not. Are you seeing a pattern here? We could go on. So, if God truly is all these things, and we are not, the question becomes, how can I know that God is with me? To a sinner trying to make himself righteous, this is a fearful question. And to a fool trying to convince other fools that he is wise, this question is pure folly. For in our heart of hearts, we know the truth, that no one is righteous as we stand before God. But for those who are being saved, the word today, the word of the cross, where God gave his sinless life for our sin to show God's power to save me and every other weak and foolish sinner like me, this question becomes one of our greatest joys and strengths, because we no longer have to pretend that we are something that we are not. We don't have to make other people seem less than we are in an attempt to elevate ourselves or rely on what they think of us. And we no longer need to run and hide from God, who knows all about us, because he does know all about you, and still he loves you. And in Christ, God has chosen you to be his beloved son or daughter. Listen to the word again from Corinthians. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise, or those who would call themselves wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. There's a word for that. It's called humility, right? This promise, right here in the midst of our reading today, is for all people. And this promise is for you. If you have been baptized, you already have and know this promise from God. He guaranteed it by giving us his son Jesus, and he sealed it by his Holy Spirit given to you on the day when you were baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, still, you are invited to come free of charge. No matter what you have done or have not done, Said or not said, God's forgiveness and his love and his power and his wisdom and his truth are for you. The size of your bank account, the color of your skin, your political party, your grades in school, your past, any of it, all of it. God's power and wisdom and grace is sufficient. More than that, it is greater than everything else. Is God with me? As followers of Christ, this question is a joy, because God has already answered us clearly by sending his Son to die for us and by revealing his mighty power when he walked out of that grave alive. As baptized believers in Christ, there is no room for doubt. We do not need to wonder or worry about this question like the people of the Old Testament did, because it has already been accomplished, done for us. We trust God's word when it says that Jesus has delivered us from the sin that separates us from God forever. Now there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of Christ. That's Romans chapter 8, a beautiful chapter. We are online this Sunday. Welcome back. I thought we'd never be here again. But I realize, even on this Friday night as we record this, that even though we are apart in space and in time, in a sense, for the few of you that are here tonight, thank you for coming, we are still connected. We are still connected by God's love, and we will always be connected by that love. A love that we have all received by faith and baptism into Christ. And since we are online only, I am also more aware that this message isn't just for members of Messiah Lutheran Church. And my hope is that there will be other people joining us this Sunday. So if you are hearing these words, take heart. God has chosen you. When Jesus died, he died for the sins of all people, including yours. There is no secret knowledge that you need to have or any special merit that you must bring. All you have to do is receive this word of the cross of Christ, as the truth and the wisdom that it is. The only thing standing in your way right now is pride. I know, because pride is what kept me away from God for too many years. You see, when my younger ears used to hear these words from 1 Corinthians that God chooses the foolish and the weak, well, I felt a little insulted. I thought to myself, how foolish is this God that he would choose people that are not as good as me? I'm just being honest. I would surround myself with other fools who would call me wise for all my worldly accomplishments. I spent a lot of energy trying to justify myself to win God's acceptance and love. I thought you all in the church had all the answers and had your life all together. And when I got my life together, God would love me and accept me. The problem is, I could never do enough. And just when I thought I might be getting close, I then realized just how far short I was from the perfect holiness of God and heaven. And then one day, I went into a Lutheran church for the first time, and I heard the pure gospel. That God already loves me, so much that he sent his only son to die for me, so that I will not perish when this life is over, so that I will have eternal life, never separated, never apart from him again. And that may sound like foolishness to some, but to our only wise God, that sounds like faith. And I'm drawn back to that verse in Ephesians chapter 2, where the Bible makes it so clear, right? That by God's grace, you have been saved through faith, not a work of our own. May that word keep you this day and every day for the rest of your life as we remember that God calls us not to be wise or powerful or strong as we stand in his presence, but to be humble and to have faith. And now may the peace, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen.